You don't realize how many years have gone by since we went through this Dust Bowl.
Well, I guess it'd be 65.
Pretty good, yes.
So anyway, I thank you for coming out today and taking your time to do this. But usually we start these out by just going around the table and stating your name, where you were born, and when you were born. And then we'll go to the next person, and they can state that information, and we'll go around, and then we'll go from there. So if you'd like to use your name, where, and when you were born, and then we'll go on around.
I'm Velma Getzinger, and my parents were Elmer and May Meisenheimer, and they filed on land out northwest of Forgan. But when it was time for me to be born, my mother thought she had to go back to Kansas to be with her mother. So my dad took her back in a covered wagon, and I was born in Kingman County, Kansas.
What year?
1907, June 30th.
Okay.
Well, I'm Elizabeth Cross. I was born over there about 5.5 miles southeast of Knowles.
Okay.
In a soddy house.
When was that?
1910.
All right.
October 3rd.
You had your parents' name was Meisenheimer?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
Thank you.
Meisenheimer.
All right, just like it sounds. And Mrs. Dyer, I hope you don't mind if we skip a little bit.
No, I'm just here for transportation purposes.
All right.
Well, I'm Beatrice Dyer. I was born at Boyd, Oklahoma. I understand there's not even a piece of anything left of it.
I was going to say, I've never heard of that.
It's south and
I've heard of it.
West of Beaver. I'm born in 19. And my parents, my grandparents, all filed at that time before I was born. They filed on the land down there. And I had two sets of grandparents that filed, one out on the south and east of Beaver, and one south and west of Beaver. And that's where I was born. And, of course, I didn't know about it, but they said it was one of the biggest snowstorms that we've ever had. And my dad had to get on a horse to go try to get the doctor out there. And, of course, I didn't know about it. I was born in February, Groundhog Day. And that's about it, I guess.
All right. Well, sounds interesting. Mrs. Kerfman?
I'm Pauline Kerfman, and my parents lived in Beaver County, but the year I was born, they moved back to Missouri, where they had both originally come from. And I was born in Foster, Missouri, May 1913. And I was about 6 weeks old, and we moved back to Oklahoma, and I've lived here ever since.
So you're not a native.
No.
Okay. Well, we have just about everybody in the same age group here, with Velma winning the prize for oldest, 1907. And Mrs. Dyer is the baby of the group.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, the baby.
Well, all right then. Did you all grow up in a rural area? Was it a farm life?
I did.
For everyone here?
I've lived in Beaver County all of my life.
Okay. Been here ever since.
So you lived in town after the second grade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would you say a typical day was like for you all growing up on the farm? So, and before you, if you can remember, before you moved to town, what was required of you around the house or outside when you were young?
You're speaking to me.
Yeah, this can be free for all here.
Well,
do you remember chores you had to do or things that you...
Typical day for me was to... My mother didn't ever care about my washing the milk separator and things like that because she wanted all that sterilized. But I could wash dishes and I could make beds and and I had to help milk cows, and it was always my task to fill the kerosene lamps with kerosene and wash the lamp chimneys every day so we'd have good light at night.
Well, do those chores sound familiar to you?
Yes. Yeah, just
a whole lot. I used to have to get in the kindling to start the fire the next day and gather the eggs and just whatever there was to be done.
Well, I worked in the field and kept cows and done a little of everything.
It seems like milking cows is always the most dreaded chore. Is that true for you?
I
don't know. I'm out from so long that I don't know.
Seemed to be a terrible thing. I think it was my dreaded part.
I had to work in the field some too.
Get my head in the old cow, and then I'd get life in my head.
Well, we had one cow that you had to hobble to. Mm-hmm. Meow, because she just kicked like.
And switch the tail and get it in the milk pail.
We
that
had
terrible.
One, but my dad always milked that one. He didn't.
Well, we had to put the hobbles on her to get milk, and then sometimes you take the bucket out from your hands.
My mother raised turkeys for sale, and I can remember not herding cattle, but herding turkeys. Keep them in a certain area, you know, to feed and take them from one field to the other.
Just like cattle?
Yeah.
Was herding them the same?
Oh, sort of. They were so slow getting around. You'd get aggravated and try to rush them up, and that made them worse, you know.
Yeah.
Like when kids, you'd want to try to rush them around. Well, you can't do it sometimes. But it was kind of fun, really.
Any favorite chores of all?
It was fun to hunt the east of the turkey eggs in the spring. We always seemed like they'd sneak out someplace and... Mm-hmm. She knows that. She did that. We did. We made cottage cheese to feed the turkeys. Did you ever do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did that. We about all did the same thing.
So you'd make cottage cheese, and that's what you'd feed
yes,
turkeys?
Yes, we had milk because we had a lot, you know, had the cows. And make big containers of cottage cheese and feed the turkeys. I don't know. I guess other people did, too.
You remember how you made cottage cheese?
Oh, yeah. You just put the milk on the stove and eat it.
Strain it.
That was
just
it.
Hang it out on the clothesline and sack.
Put it in.
So it'll dry down.
Sugar used to come in cloth bags, mm-hmm. and they'd use those sugar bags, put the cheese in there and hang it on the clothesline till it dripped dry.
Then you feed it to the turkeys.
Well, and we ate some of it.
We ate it, too.
The turkeys got the biggest part of it.
It was better cheese than this you buy at the store. I mean, cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never knew about making cottage cheese that way.
Well, the milk had to be curded before they heated it.
Yeah.
You put it on
sour.
I want to go home and hang milk on my clothesline and see if I can
no,
get some cottage.
No, you have to let it sour first
got,
and get curded.
It's got to be a clabber of milk.
Well, this quick cheese that we buy now, you can't do it anyway. Uh-huh. It just doesn't work, does it?
No.
It's work.
Different.
Yeah, it's homogenized milk, would it sour and... Could you use that?
My milk's gone sour.
I don't think so.
I don't think it clabbers.
I
don't believe.
It
I think it has to be fresh milk.
Well, what about the turkeys sneaking off to lay eggs?
They'd hide out in the bushes.
And you had to go...
Gather the eggs.
Would it be like Easter egg hunt?
We probably made a game out of it for sure.
I think we didn't waste anything.
You'll think that I'm...
Like she said, we use the sugar sacks. Mm-hmm. We didn't waste anything, did we?
No.
Of course, she's older. She knows more about it than I do, but I know quite a bit about it.
Using every...
You make...
Fire sacks were saved to make panties for the girls and slips and things like that.
Nothing went to waste.
At least they were...
Didn't waste anything.
Flowered sacks. Uh-huh. They made dresses out of them.
Right. Do you have any of those left at all? Do you have any examples?
No, I don't.
I have a dress that...
They had some pretty flower sacks, though. They was
later years.
Later years. Otherwise, they just had Red Star on them or something.
But people dressed in white if they were what we call dressing up. The boys wore white.
Mm-hmm.
And the first dress I ever owned that was colored, I was 18 months old when my mother made it, and I still have that dress.
Wow.
I had one, I forgot. I got one with a white, and my mother crocheted the top. I still got that. I forgot about that.
I've got one, too, and I was about 3 years old or four.
I think I was about
I still got
one.
I was 18 months.
But it wasn't made out of flour sack. It was
no, mine was just made out of
it
material.
It was a material, and I mean, it's kind of embroidery like flowers or stuff on it.
Was that a luxury to have store-bought material like that?
It probably was at that time. We didn't know much about it. But
I'm sure it was.
I don't remember whether it was.
Well, how did you end up in Beaver City and off the farm?
My mother homesteaded on a claim southeast of here, 12 miles. And times got bad and weren't raising crops, and we moved to town. My dad got a job as a jailer at the jailhouse. We just stayed.
From then on, you were a city girl.
Yeah, I was a city girl.
But then, were you jealous of the farm life, or were you glad you were in the city?
I think we kids were all glad to move to town. We didn't have the chores we had to do.
Right.
Which we should have had, probably. Kept us out of mischief. I had four brothers and one sister, so.
Well, now you've done it. What kind of mischief did you get into?
Oh, I don't think I ought to tell them, the boys, should I?
Well, only if they're not around.
Well, one thing that we did that was terrible, the place we lived had a row of mulberry trees, and we'd go down and climb in those trees and eat the mulberries and have mulberry fights and all that kind of stuff, and our clothes were all stained, and Mom would get so aggravated. Can't you find something clean to play? She'd say. But we didn't know when we were eating those mulberries that probably we ate more worms than we did anything else.
That's right.
To me now, that sounds horrible, but then we didn't think about it then.
Well, what else did you guys do for fun and entertainment or mischief making?
We had horses to ride, and we didn't have cars. Our parents, I think the first car we ever owned, I was probably 10 or 11 years old before we ever had a car. And my dad, he was the second man in our neighborhood to own a car. We went back to Hutchinson, Kansas to visit one of my uncles, and so my dad went to Hutchinson and bought a car. It was an Overland car. And, of course, he didn't know very much about driving it, but they took him out to the edge of town and turned him loose. And by the time he got to my uncle's house, it was after night. And the cars back then, whenever you'd let up on the accelerator, the lights would dim instead of being bright.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran into my uncle's chicken house. Where he got stopped.
There were so many of us kids that my mother never did want to drive. She said she'd never get a chance, so why learn? And we were out visiting my uncle's east of the town one Sunday, and it came up a big rainstorm. We had a creek we had to cross, and we got stuck. So Dad said, "Myrtle, get up there and drive this car while the kids and I push." So she did, and we got her pushed out. She said, "How do I stop it? How do I stop it?" She didn't even know what the brake was for or where it was, I don't suppose.
Did she find it soon enough?
Yeah, I'm like, my oldest brother ran up to the side of the car and told her what to do.
So you had horses exclusively until you were 11 or 10 or 11?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We lived about 2 miles from where our mailbox was, where the mail was delivered. Used to ride a horse down there every day to pick up the mail.
And
if we, when we go to Sunday school and church, the girls didn't ride horses. We usually rode in a wagon or buggy with the folks, but the boys would ride horses to church, and then there'd just be a whole line of saddle horses fastened out there.
What about you two? Did you have horses up until...
We rode horses after I was married. We all, my son and my husband and me, we all rode horses.
Well, I did too.
I got pictures of them.
Help my husband.
We had a car, but a lot of time we rode horses.
I remember my first year, I went to high school. We had to go in the town, and my grandmother had a horse and a buggy, and that's how I went to high school.
Riding in the horse. Did you miss?
Yeah, the horses were just, I don't know, they were like cars nowadays. And I know the young boys, if they, that was their pride to see which one could have the classiest buggy. And I have pictures of my mother and all of them. And they'd see who had the nicest looking horse and the best buggy, just like they do cars nowadays.
With the fringe on top.
I rode a horse to school the first year I was in high school, but after that we had a school bus.
Well, did you miss the days of the horse and buggy when cars came along, or were cars...
Oh, we were glad.
Oh, I
in
loved
a way, it. Only we liked our saddle horses.
I love to ride
fun.
A horse.
I do, too. I like to ride, but...
We had some good, nice horses to ride, and we really liked them.
Do you remember your horses' names?
Mine was Dolly.
Dolly?
One we called Babe, and one we called Maud.
My son's his name Saul.
My granddad had one that all the kids tried to ride him at once. His name was Stats. And there'd be kids wanting to be on that poor horse. Well, that was just our transportation, those horses, you know.
Yeah. Did you have horses?
We walked a lot back then.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of exercise.
I remember one saddle horse we had that we all enjoyed riding, and one Sunday, my girlfriend and I were at my place, and no one else was there, and she says, why don't we go horseback riding? And I said, okay, Ginger's out here in the corral. We went up, out, and saddled her up, first time I ever put a saddle on her, myself. And we went down the lane to the road going west, and as we turned on, we were going pretty fast. The saddle turned. We didn't get it tight enough. And she and I both landed in sand burrs, cuckle burrs. I don't know. We picked stickers for hours. But when we got up, we just took Ginger back to the barn and took that saddle off. But my dad said, that's what you get. You didn't know how to saddle her, did you? And I said, well, I thought I did. But we didn't do a very good job.
The horse that my son rode was half Shetland. He was a little pony. And we had to keep that horse out of the corral if we were in milk, because that horse would drink milk just like a calf. And if we forgot to leave that horse out, we'd hang it up in the corral, things to hang it on, hooks. And he'd get in there and drink it up. She left it in the corral.
My brothers had a little Shetland pony. And if she didn't want to go, she wouldn't go. And my older brother got her started one day, and he said, you younger ones just don't know how to do this. And all at once she just stopped like that, and he went over her head. They said, we don't think we want to learn how to do it either.
Well, what about other pets that you might have had, or other animals around the house? Did you have...
always had dogs.
Always had a dog.
We had dogs. My brother had a little calf. We just raised that. It was just like a toy from the time it was born. And he could ride it. It was a pretty little calf.
No unusual pets? No...
That pet. Was the most unusual pet.
That's pretty unusual.
Well, sometimes there'd be, like when a litter of pigs was born, there'd be maybe one little
runt
pig, and we'd take it for a pet. But we didn't ever have animals in the house. They were always kept outside.
Yeah. What about in town, pets? What did you?
Just dogs and cats.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. The boys always had to have a dog.
Yeah.
They, each one would like to have had a dog, but that was too many.
But you said you were born in a soddy. How long did you live in that?
I don't know. We moved after that and went down to Tulsa and lived for several years. Now we come back. We had a frame house. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know how, because we went to Tulsa when I was little, and I don't remember much about going to Tulsa.
And you came back and magically you had a good house.
I had another house.
Did any of you ever have experiences with sod houses?
I did. My parents they lived in a sod house for almost 3 years before I was born, and I lived in it about 3 years with them before they got a frame house built.
Do you remember much about life in the sod house? Can you remember?
Yes, it was two rooms, a kitchen and table and all where we ate. And if anyone came to see us, that's where they sat, was in that. And then all the beds were in the other room.
Have you been to see the sod house down by, was it Cleo Springs or Aileen,
yeah,
Oklahoma?
No, there used to be one between here and Woodward, but it has fallen down now.
Used to be one out.
And there was one right out here, a little one, in the museum yard. Is it still there?
It looks like a doghouse.
Yeah, it's a little one.
It's a small one, but
yes,
but it's made like the others used to be.
Yeah.
Only large, others were larger. But I don't know if they ever made them more than two rooms or not.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Oh, Niles is
hard to keep that.
Niles is.
I think it's so hard to keep the top up. Mm-hmm. The lumber or the sod that they put on the top, I think they had to kind of limit that because it would be too heavy.
Yeah.
And my parents had. I wasn't born in a sod house, but my grandparents had it one at that time. My folks built. They lived down by Perriton. And the first house they built was just two rooms. It's a cute little house. I have a picture of it. But just two rooms, that was it, you know. They weren't very big. Mm-hmm. As happy as it was when I was a baby. Just like it was a mansion. They didn't have anything.
How long did you live in that two-room house?
I think I was about 5 years old. Till we moved to a bigger house. And it seemed like everybody back then seemed like they were pretty well the same. You know, one wasn't so much wealthier than another one. I don't know. It seemed to me like there were so many more people, and had maybe there'd be just one church. Well, I was born down here in the Anthony district. And they just have a little church sometimes. People wouldn't even hardly all get in. You know, there'd just be more people than they had room for. And I remember that. They had a pitcher pump, and I know one Sunday these kids got out there and run this old pitcher pump outdoors, you know, mm-hmm. and got dirty, and my land there, it was time for church to start, and their mothers was all mad at them. It was a terrible mess. The pitcher pump, when I went to start a school, in the country, to this country school, they had pitcher pump.
Yeah,
that was it, you know. You just didn't have electricity or anything.
What about the other early houses that you remember as children, or the houses that you lived in growing up? Were they tiny things or
I lived in, it was four large rooms and then an upstairs that was just. It was just all one big room, but I had four brothers that always slept upstairs, and my folks had a bedroom downstairs, and I had one downstairs, and then we had a kitchen and dining area, and one for the living room.
That sounds pretty spacious.
Well, it was larger than some around, but not It wasn't a large house, really.
They didn't have large houses, really, back in then. 3-4 rooms. If you had 5 or 6, you'd think you'd mansion.
Yes.
We've talked about the sod houses being 2 rooms. Niles' sod house that they lived out west of town in was larger than that, wasn't it?
Were they?
I'm sure it was 4 or 5 rooms.
Oh.
I think my grandparents were larger. There's a picture of it in the history book.
All that I ever knew.
And I believe it was more than that, too.
Yeah.
It was.
And almost everyone had a cellar, yeah. A storm cellar. Yeah. And sometimes a lot of people had a bed down there. But that's where we'd go if we a bad storm.
That's where we stored our canned food.
Put all the canned foods
down
there, too.
Yes.
Canned about everything. We had a neighbor lady, and they always laughed about her. She had a meal, and I'll ask you what in, you know, and she'd always say, well, if it's not on the table, it's in the cellar. We canned about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was that a big job for you growing up canning?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody canned. That's the only way you really had to keep stuff, but you didn't have no refrigerators.
But before they canned very much, like corn, my mother used to
dry
the corn. She cooked it on the cob and then cut it off, and she'd spread it out on a sheet and put it up on the roof of some place until it dried. And then it wasn't preserves, it's peach butter. She always had a big jar of that down there, and it wasn't sealed or anything. Just when it got empty, we'd just go down there and fill up the dish.
They dried apples and peaches the same way like they did.
So they would drying the food was, they'd do that before they started canning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When did canning start? I thought it was something everyone always did.
Mm.
I don't know.
Seemed like they canned all my life. I don't know.
Didn't all of mine. I don't know.
But then they dried a lot of this stuff, but they canned ever since I can remember.
I'm canning before we ever moved to town,
though.
Yeah. Canned a lot of.
Because, you know, they dried the stuff on the roofs, and I don't think you did that now, did you?
I don't think it'd be good now.
Huh? I don't think you can put stuff up there and dry like they used to.
No.
Why not?
Maybe they'd butcher beef and hang it up in the windmill.
Yeah.
Or
hang it in the granary someplace, and we'd just go.
It froze.
The winters were cold enough that the meat didn't spoil. We'd just go out there and cut off what we needed to cook.
Wrap it up a sheet or something around it. And kept stuff off of it.
So you think it's colder in the summer?
I think we had more snow back then than we have now.
Well, I know we did the last few years. We haven't had anything.
Well, so what would you remember about canning? Did you have a favorite canned product?
Washing all them jars.
We just cooked in big kettles or kettles and then just put it in jars.
You had to put them in a big
water
thing and boil them to sterilize them for you. My mother, I can't remember that she canned much of anything except tomatoes and corn, but my dad always planted pinto beans, and we ate green beans, and then when the beans
dried,
he'd take them up to the hayloft of the barn, and we'd tromp them out, then we'd have brown beans in the wintertime.
Mama used to make a lot of dill pickles. She made real good ones. But we'd have kids come stay all night with us, and we'd sit in bed and eat them pickles. She wondered what was happening.
Were dill pickles a treat for you? That was something that you
liked? I like dill pickles. I still do.
You're not tired of them yet?
No.
What other things were treats that you guys would eat that was something special that you wouldn't get normally, besides dill pickles?
I don't know.
Chocolate cake at my house. And homemade light bread. We'd come home from school. My mother almost every day baked bread, and we'd have warm bread and butter and jelly.
I don't know. I was
grab
really
a slice of bread and go to the garden and pull an onion.
I was a store. I'd stand on the stool and make bread. That's why my husband said he married me, because I could make good bread.
I remember one treat we always had. Mom always managed on the 4th of July to have strawberry shortcake and homemade ice cream.
We had homemade ice cream every now and then.
Was that considered something very special, something very rare? Or?
Yeah, we didn't have it too often.
One time my mother, we had to go to Liberal, Kansas to buy our groceries, and my mom and dad were gone, and we decided we wanted some ice cream, and back then we had, we called them ice boxes that just held a big chunk of ice, you know, and they'd always bring a 100-pound block of ice back, so we decided we'd make some ice cream. And when I got ready to make it, we didn't have anything but separated cream. We didn't have any milk. So I made it out of cream.
It's good, though, but it's rich.
Oh, you couldn't eat it. It's like eating frozen butter.
My dad used to freight groceries from Englewood, Kansas, down to the places between Gate and Knowles. I mean, it's out in the country. Mm-hmm. There was a store there and a post office. Okay. And I don't remember, but I know, talked about it. And they've done that with a team and wagon. Mm-hmm. And they've done it for several years.
I was named after a post office. South of Eber, there was a Beatrice post office.
It was some of Beatrice's relation that run that store, Hostetter's.
Oh, that's Zelma.
Well, there was a Beatrice post office out west of where I live.
Well, that's where I got my name.
Oh, it was.
I was born at Boyd.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
One time when I was working on the history, and a lot of us came over to work on it, you know, and they was talking about where we came from, and this man was there by me, and he said, "Oh, you was born in here?" Said, "I thought you'd come in for the oil field people." No, we just still don't have an oil well. I never have lived anywhere but here. I've just been in Beaver County all my life.
But you must enjoy it to stick around.
Yes, I've been other places, and I'm
good place to live.
Glad to get back.
Well, what is it about Beaver County that keeps you all here?
If you're so long, we don't want to go anywhere else.
My parents moved to the state of Oregon during the Dust Bowl days because their farm practically blew away. But I was married at that time, and we had a grocery store in Beaver, and so just always. And my family grew up here. My husband's passed away about 33 years ago, but I just still want to live here.
What about you, Mrs. Cross? What keeps you here? Or what has kept you here for so long?
Well, I guess I just like it here as well as any place else I've been. I've been here the biggest part of my life, not always. My husband's been gone about 17 years. I've been doing pretty fair. It's a pretty good place to live.
We were neighbors for years.
Yeah, we were close together. But even half a block, we really cut across, no, was it?
How come you haven't moved away?
Well, I guess I went to school at Yate. I went to high school at Yate. And my husband went to Knowles. He was out in Knowles School, and we just met. And we've just been here ever since. Raised our family. This is our oldest daughter.
And she turned out okay.
You don't know.
We have a son lives here. We have one son, two daughters. Our son lives here in Beaver, his family. I don't know. We were just got through filling out one of those grandma books. Have you seen one of those?
I don't think so.
And that was something, it took me several months to feel that. It's from where my grandparents came from. And my husband's grandparents, one of their granddaughters brought this to me. Said, "Grandma, I'm going to leave this with you. And next summer I'll pick it up." And you know, it took me a long time to get that all filled. And I looked up a lot of history and everything, you know, I don't know, I just, we had a farm, my husband was a farmer, and the first year he had the wheat out, we didn't raise a peck. We didn't have any.
What happened?
Worms ate it. We've had lots of failures. We had cattle.
You had some good years, though, didn't you?
Huh?
You had some good years.
Yeah, we had a few good years. Yeah, they were all good. We didn't have a whole lot. We had our family, but you know, Knowles and Gate used to be a long ways apart, 8 or 9 miles, and I used to ride the old train. I stayed with my grandparents a lot over at Gate and went to school. My parents lived in Knowles, and I'd ride that train from Gate to Knowles.
Mrs. Kirkman, how come... What hasn't attracted you away from?
Well, I don't know. I guess when you lived a place so long, you have your roots down pretty far.
Yeah.
And my husband was from Clear Lake, southeast of here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been gone 14 years. And we only had one daughter, and she lives at Lawrence, Kansas, which is a long ways off.
Yeah.
But I have my home here, and I have a lot of good friends, and it's home.
Even those dusty old dust storms couldn't blow you guys away.
Oh, and when I was in high
school... We couldn't get away then.
That was the year I was in high school, and we had to walk. We didn't have buses. And I know we had to take a worse cloth or some kind of cloth and wet it, put it over our faces as we walked to school. That would be mud when we'd get to school.
Mm-hmm. Well, when would you say those times started? If you talk, you know, everyone throws around that term,
that
the Dust Bowl
era. The early 30s. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Brought some pictures.
All right.
I taught school in Beaver during the Dust Bowl days.
That was bad.
And when I taught first grade, and when we let them go out to play, I had to put dust masks on them. And by the time it was time for them to come back in, we had to clean the dust off of the desk. So
it yes, it was bad. It was.
Well, we had to our tables too, clean them off before we could eat.
Yes.
And wake up of a morning and raise up, and where your head was on the pillow was white, and the rest of it was white.
There was a lot of folks had dust.
When that happened, that just scared everybody to death. That was the worst dust storm.
That was terrible.
It was.
I had some more pictures, but I didn't know where to look for them. I had so many pictures, I didn't look for them.
I have some of those someplace, but I don't know where they are.
Well, I had some more, but I don't know. Oh, I just got so many pictures that I don't know where to do for them.
And I could see it starting out over the sand hills, rolling in. And I knew my older brother was at home. And so when I got to the house, I just made it in before it hit. And I hollered, "Cecil, Cecil." He said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" And I said, "I think the world's coming to an end."
Well, I think a lot of people felt bad.
Well, it looked like it. My husband was at the farm.
Let's hear your stories one at a time about this big one that came in on April 14th.
1935.
It was pretty black.
Mrs. Cross, what do you remember about that day?
Well, my husband had been working on a windmill, and the wind come up, and it was hot. It had the fan part on the windmill tied down. That wind broke the rope, but he got down. And then my son, he was a little boy, and he was out about a mile and a half north of town, and I wanted to go get him, but we went after him. This was all coming up when we was going after him. And it was black by the time we got to where he was, but I got my son in there.
You found him? Everything all right?
Well, he's out to my sister's, but I wanted him. I didn't want him to be out there, but he said, "I want to be with me." So he was.
Mrs. Dyer, where were you when that big one came in?
Well, I was home. My husband was out. They were working cattle. He was working with the Barbies. They worked together a lot. And they was working with cattle, and they got off. They had to get off, and they tied their horses up to the posts, you know, because the horses were frantic.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were just scared to death. Some of them were down praying, and they said, and well, nobody could believe what that was like.
You just can't describe it. I mean, how it really was. It's just something you can't describe.
You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. No, that's the truth.
Where were you when that one rolled in?
Well, I was at home.
In town?
Mm-hmm. Well, my parents' home. That was when I ran in and hollered at my brother.
Yeah.
And woke him up. And by the time he got awake, it really had hit.
So you thought, you really thought the world was, that was going to be
it? Yes, I did.
So what did you do to prepare?
Well, we thought we better save what dirt we could out of the house. So we got sheets and blankets and hung them on the windows. Didn't do a bit good. Came in all the cracks that they could find. And it was, we didn't have electricity. And so we lighted some lamps. Pretty soon you couldn't even tell hardly where the lamp was. You could just barely see a flicker of light. And that was, and then they went out finally. Got so much dirt in the house. It was really frightening, I'll tell you.
A light didn't really do much good. I mean, just like a candle. It really wasn't much light as a candle is, because it was just dust coming in the house and everywhere, just like it is outside.
My parents and the three younger boys were out in the country visiting, and they were on their way to Beaver. And they got out here, Ben Allen's 6 miles, isn't it? He's down five, something like that. And they couldn't see the drive, so they pulled in where they could see the driveway and parked behind their building. I don't know if it was a garage or what, and just sat there in the car all that time waiting.
Did you know friends or family that were trapped outside during that storm, or stories?
My husband was outside. They were, he was out at the farm, and they'd been out taking care of cattle and all. And he was, I think, near or either in the grove of trees or near it, but he didn't see all this dust rolling in until it
hit.
And he knew that he still had hold of the horse's reins, but he couldn't see his horse. He couldn't. And I was here in town, and I was in my kitchen, is on the south side of the house, and I thought it was getting kind of dark, so I went out on the front porch, and all down along the river was this big old dust just rolling. And scared me to death. Birds were flying ahead of it because
they're trying to
get away from it.
Were animals running in front of it? Is that, or just birds? Did you see?
Well, I didn't see anything but birds, but I don't know what the animals did. But anyway, I went in the house and closed the door, and I went to one of my south windows because I knew it was going to roll right over the house, and I thought the house would probably roll too, but it didn't. But I couldn't see anything. I don't know how long that intense darkness lasted, but it was an hour or two, I think, wasn't it?
It seemed like a long time, but it wasn't as long as it seemed, really.
No. 30 minutes to an hour, I think.
Probably.
We had the dust in for weeks, months after that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I know I was in high school.
Well, we had dust.
Desks would be all covered. And
oh, we had a lot of dust.
We had a lot of dust storms, but that was the worst one we ever had.
Yeah, that
would you say that was the beginning of the dust storms, or was that in the middle of the...
No, I'd say the middle.
Middle or thereabouts.
Probably.
You remember the first time you saw one?
No. I don't know. There were so many of them.
They kind of crept up on
us. Yeah, and then hit you with that big...
Yeah, right.
Clean the dirt out of the house one day and next day to come back in.
Well, when times changed a little bit, when the dust storms started coming in and the winds and the crops went down, do you remember a time in your life when you looked and you said things aren't as good as they used to be? Or do you remember something specific?
Well,
that made
you know, the government bought up all these cattle people had, too.
Yeah, and
they killed them.
Yeah, they killed them.
We didn't have no cattle. They killed them. They paid us so much. I don't remember. It wasn't very much. But
$7 a head.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very much.
It wasn't very much. And
we had some good cattle, but that's awful.
My husband and his brother used to go out. About the only thing that would grow was sandburrs or Russian thistles, mm-hmm. and they used to. I don't know how they got the thistles, but they used to make stacks mm-hmm. of thistles to feed their cattle.
Mm-hmm. What about other? You mentioned the government buying out the mm-hmm. cattle and killing them. Do you remember how you felt? I mean, were you happy to get the money? I mean,
no,
no,
we cried.
We lose our cattle, but we didn't have a choice.
But we didn't. There was nothing we could do. It just.
Of course, that was
give them or take them. I mean, they didn't. You didn't have any say.
That was right after we were married, and we were just trying to get started, and we lost what we had.
How was it just getting married and just getting started? Right.
It was rough. My husband worked for $1 a day, and it was hard work. Working on a farm, on a ranch, the Davidson Ranch. Down south of Knowles, and he got $1 a day. We had a few cows and chickens and pigs, and had a garden, and that's how he lived.
Yeah.
He really did. Or we did. Of course, we didn't have a business. We just was on the farm, that's all we had.
We did too, because we was married in the 30.
We was married in 36.
We was married in 30.
I was married in 32.
What was that? There
wasn't any money. So many of the men just went away to work. You know, they'd go out west and work in the hay or the spuds or anything.
Did you lose a lot of friends or family as times
moved away? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people moved away.
Some of them died of because of dust pneumonia.
Did you have friends, people?
My
that you
brother
knew?
Was a little boy, and. He made it through, but we had a hard time saving him.
What were the symptoms? What was he like?
Could no, he not... it was just like he got pneumonia. Yeah. It's just a lung. It bothered the lungs. And I remember Dr. McGrew was here. And he lanced him. I don't know whether I should tell this or not.
Sure.
You know, huh?
Well, sure. Yeah, that's what we're here for.
He opened a place in his back. Of course, they didn't have things to do with then, like they do now. And he just made a slit in his back and put a rubber glove, like they use at the hospital, and put in there. And people just had to use things. It's just so different. So different it is now. And he saved his life. Just put that in there for drainage.
Yeah.
But I know the lady, Mrs. Boyer, lived across from us, and she didn't make it. She was an elderly lady. It's quite a few of them didn't make it through it.
Do you remember thinking or wishing that you could go away somewhere to get out of here?
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never wished it. So I went someplace else because I didn't know where I was going to go.
I don't think. We probably didn't have money to go.
We had money to go.
You had to stay. But then the government built these government dams. I don't know whether you know anything about them or not.
Was Optima Dam one of them? And
well, they built farm dams. They paid them so much, you know.
Oh, in their places.
And you couldn't use a tractor or anything to pull us out. They had what they call a frizzenaw. I suppose you ever know what it was.
Kind of
Well, they used horses. And they'd go in there and pull that and make them big holes, big ponds. Now, there was one still out there on Barbie's, but it's still there or not. And they made a fish pond out of that. I mean, it's big. They didn't let everybody in to fish. But they stocked it with fish, and it did have some nice fish. We was out there and fishing. But I don't know if it's still there or not. It was out on John Little's place, northwest of the house.
That was government programs to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a grant they got.
Did you say that your families relied heavily on the government programs during that time?
We did on that because that's all we had.
Mm-hmm. But they had to work for it.
Oh, yeah, they
didn't
worked.
They didn't have it to you. You didn't have no...
Everything was done by hand. I mean, of course, the horses pulled the frizzenol, but you had to work the frizzenol handle to get the dirt in it.
Right.
To do the holes. And it was a lot of work. But it was working and had nothing.
I taught school during in Beaver at that time, And I was supposed to get $75 a month, but Beaver County was broke and they couldn't cash our warrants. And there were two or three people around Overtown that would discount our warrants.
What does that mean?
Take a percentage
of them. And I didn't ever do that because my husband and his brother had a grocery store, and my husband could feed me and support me, so I just kept my warrants. I finally got the money on most of them, but it was...
You know who my first teacher was?
No.
Ada Kearns.
Is that right?
And, I went to school with Ada Kearns.
Finally, they told us...
She stayed at our place down there, had a...
That...
Said, it's like a trailer, it was a cook shack, had it down there in the trees. We'd go down there and visit her.
But they wouldn't issue warrants on the Beaver School District anymore.
You'd be surprised.
That we would have to go to this government program, was called the WPA, mm-hmm. Workman's
Compensation
Deal. And my husband was real proud about, or I don't know if you'd say proud, but he didn't want charity if he could prevent it. And he said, if you have to go on WPA to teach school, for heaven's sake, quit. So I did and started working in the grocery store. But we'd get grocery orders. People would go to the county commissioners and get $5 grocery orders because they didn't have any money, and they could buy a huge box of groceries for $5. They could be.
What about other WPA programs? Do you remember feeling happy or mad about that? Were you a pro-Roosevelt family or anti-Roosevelt family?
Well, they had food trucks that came in, and I know people in the country got some food. I don't remember just what it was.
We never did get them.
But some people did.
We never did get any.
But some people did.
Oh, yes.
Did you, Mrs. Kirkland?
I don't think we ever had any either.
Uh-uh. Well, you had to come to Beaver to get it, and we lived way off out in the country, way down there, southwest of Southeast and Oaks. We never got any.
You didn't get any food from government?
We didn't either.
Well, I think you had to come into Beaver to get it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it cost you more to come to Beaver than what you'd get.
I graduated from Beaver High School in 31 and was lucky enough to get a job then at the courthouse in the county attorney's office. And I forgot what you said you got a month, 75 or something, 60. I got $62.50 a month.
Finally got a raise to 80.
I don't know. I guess I got raises eventually. I don't know. But I worked there long enough. I should have.
For a long time, I couldn't get...
They had a project.
I didn't get any money out of them. I just had to...
I remember my grandmother would come over here. She lived in Yate, and she'd go over here and sewed. Mm-hmm. And they made clothes for people. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother used to do that. Of course, I was just a kid. I was in high school. But she'd come over here and sew, and they'd make clothes for the needy.
Mm-hmm. I think they made quilts. Mattresses, too, didn't they?
Huh?
I think some government outfit made mattresses. You had to come to Beaver to make them, but you made mattresses.
I didn't know about that, but I know my
But I seen them, but I...
Because they put her to make the buttonholes, because she could. You know, she was a seamstress, did hand work. And I remember that, but I just thought about that a while ago. Boy, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, did you have any other relief efforts in the community to help out needy people? I mean, if you knew a family was starving or didn't have enough clothes or something, what would people help out? Or?
Well, I don't think anyone in Beaver County starved, but they didn't have a selection of food. They just had what was...
How did your food change when things got tight? Do you remember not getting ice cream so much or...
cakes and pies.
Didn't get any luxuries.
No, we sure didn't.
Well, and sometimes you didn't have much meat. I know sometimes we would brown flour to season beans with. Now it was pretty good. I mean, it did at that time.
It makes gravy better sometimes.
Does it? Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, if the flour is brown, you make have a lot better gravy instead of white gravy. I don't like white gravy.
Do you ever remember sitting down at a table to eat and thinking, if I eat this one more time, I'm...
I don't remember that. But yeah,
I don't either because I was always glad to get what we had.
You never said, I don't like that. I don't want it. Like kids do nowadays. They're so ticky.
But we didn't have a choice. You ate that or it was nothing.
Yeah, that is right.
I don't think anyway.
Scrambled eggs and fried potatoes and brown beans. Things like that.
But they're still good.
It seems like people on the farm had enough food, but oftentimes everything else was scarce. Shoes, maybe, or clothes, or...
You probably had one good pair of slippers to wear for church, and you didn't wear them through the day, week,
either. Or the same dress every Sunday. Didn't have a choice.
You didn't have very much variety.
Well...
But we got by.
Homemade soap.
Come out of it all right.
Yeah. She mentions, like, I used to make a lot of homemade soap.
Yeah.
Well, I did, too.
Della Poorball, of course, was my neighbor. And her and I, we did everything. We made soap. We made cheese. We made just like Delvina's cheese.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Della Poorball tomorrow. We're going to talk with her tomorrow. She's on our list. Well, so do you feel...
going out to her house?
She's going to meet us in gate.
Oh, she'll be, she's closer to the gate than she's been.
She went somewhere. She was, didn't she go somewhere or something?
I don't know.
I thought Florence told me she was going somewhere or something.
But we lived just...
I hope not.
We lived
well, she's probably be back by that time. But she was gone yesterday, I think, or sometime. Hmm. I talked
she
to Florence.
She was the first baby born in Knowles. Huh. And that's where we came from. Most of our life we lived in Knowles. Then 7-8 years ago we moved our house over here.
Well, we talked a little bit about people leaving their homes and driving off to hopefully a better place during the hard times. What about people that stayed but that went from town to town looking for jobs or food or handouts or things? Do you remember experiences with hobos or tramps or... things like that? Was that a big thing?
We used to have hobos that would come by and want
to
feed them a meal, you know, but that's...
In the country more, you had that.
Well, it was in town, too.
We live by the...
I did.
Here we go.
She can tell you about stuff. Well, she's not no kid.
Well, let's hear some hobo stories. Let's hear some...
The folks lived by the train tracks. And
out in the country.
They would... The hobos would come and knock on the door and want something to eat or want to do something so they could get some things to eat.
One time...
Back in the 30s.
That black man came to our door and he had several ears of corn. And he wanted me to cook him. Well, he had been down to Kermit and Lala Dixon's and stole the corn. We didn't steal it, he just took it. But he came up there and wanted me to... He cooked the corn for him, but I didn't. I was a little bit leery out in the country. We didn't have telephones or nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to mess with him. I told him I was sorry, but you just have to eat it like that.
Were you scared of the... How you must have been fairly small when they were coming by.
Yeah, I was about 4 or 5 years old, but I can remember. No, I wasn't afraid of him. There was a salesman one time come out to see Daddy. And I got in the car and went with him. A kid nowadays probably would have never showed up again, and I probably was a very fortunate I did. But Mama didn't know where I went.
Oh, you were just driving with the salesman.
I just got in with him to take him to where Daddy was, yes. Huh. I was very fortunate that he was a good man.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have so many problems back then.
No, not then.
Like Leah the other day asked me something, and I said, honey, this is like a different world. It really is.
It's entirely different.
No, it just is.
Yes.
Well, we've heard some stories about not only hobos and tramps, but gypsies as well traveling in the area. Were they out here in Beaver County?
When I was teaching school out at Turpin, Oklahoma, which is a little town that's not very far from here, I used to always stop at the grocery store before I would go to my apartment, and two or three times gypsies would stop there, and the lady that and the man that owned the store, they'd say, "Velma, get behind the counter and help watch those people." And you had to watch them or they'd steal your blind.
Well, they used to come into town, I remember, and we'd all be excited, you know, the gypsies are coming, and be kind of like a parade bunch. Well, that's what I think I remember. Mm-hmm. But I know they always would take things.
Yes.
They would take things.
Would they be in cars or wagons or...
Well,
they'd steal clothes and food and things like that out of stores,
you
know.
Some of them they were kind of a wagon.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a covered wagon or something.
And they'd sell, well, they built a medicine man that used to come to town. He'd sell a bottle of medicine.
Help anything, wouldn't it?
The elixir, yeah.
You remember a medicine man coming to coming to town? That you selling is.
Oh yes, I remember that. We had our kids that say, "Oh, the medicine man's coming." Or what did they call him?
Well, one of them sold Watkins products and one Raleigh products. I remember
they used
that.
To come to our house all the time, seeing me lie.
They'd come to see town, and boy, we'd all get them down there. Well,
you'd buy vanilla and a lot of stuff like that from them.
Well, I think Watkins is a little more reputable than probably what she's talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about some kind of snake oil thing.
Yeah,
this is
Curals.
Yeah.
Oh. We didn't have any of them.
Oh, I don't remember that.
We were lucky in Beaver not being on a highway because we didn't have a lot of them.
But we wasn't on a highway. We was on a country road, but
well,
I don't even
know. Went from town to town.
But town to town, they don't leave the
here we're
road
south,
much.
You know, this highway up here and highway
down there. It's different.
Well, I remember that mostly was in a gate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
have a lot of traffic over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic through there.
Did you ever know anybody that went out tramping to be a hobo, a family member or relative or?
No.
Huh. Did most of your families take them in and give them food or make them do a chore?
Well, the Raleigh man used to stay all night a lot of times at our house. He drove the horse and buggy. It seemed like he always made it there.
They were just local people from some community.
Yeah, they were.
They weren't.
Right.
Well, like just off somewhere to somebody.
They were local people.
You knew them or knew of them.
Yeah, but these gypsies and all, they were, I don't know where they came from.
I don't know where they came from, but they just lived in those wagons.
Yeah. I remember they always wore a lot of jewelry and junk, just junk stuff, you
just
know. And
things that they could pick up. Just
Well, I was thinking about the dust and the work that would cause for you in the house and the cleaning and the laundry and the vacuuming and dusting and all without electricity.
We didn't have electricity.
Vacuums? We didn't know what vacuums were then.
Your vacuum was a stick with a bunch of broom.
Straw
brooms.
We had electricity, but we didn't have a lot of other stuff.
Well, when did you first? What's your first memory of electricity? I mean, when I've grown up, I've always had it. I can't imagine plugging in a light bulb for the first time.
Our first electricity was what you called a wind charger. Did you ever see one of them?
The windmill thing that charged the batteries?
Yeah, it had fans on it, you know, that went around and around, charged batteries, and then this run off of the batteries. We had a radio, and we had our house like that, but you're pretty saving with it, because it wouldn't take long to run them batteries down, just car batteries.
Yeah.
He had a friend in Liberal, Kansas that sold little electrical plants for farms. They're called Delco plants.
And that's probably what she's talking about.
She's talking about a wind charger.
It's on a big pole like a windmill.
This was a little engine type thing. And we had one drop light in each room, but that was the only electricity that we had in the house, but that's better than coal oil lamps.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
1940. We had a Delco, and I remember Lowe went to town, and he brought me an electric iron. It was electric, you know. And when we left the farm, John Little came over and bought that iron. Oh. they just didn't have electricity.
Yeah.
But he got that Sun filling station out north of Laverne. Went out of business, and here they were selling this Delco, and he went over and got it. And so we had things pretty good for, we just poor old kids, but he was a good manager. So we had this Delco, and we had lights and all my land. I remember the first time we even had an icebox. And Della Poorboy, you'll see her tomorrow. She was my friend, and we lived out there. The boys went to Dodge, and her husband, my husband, and they came back from Dodge, and they bought these iceboxes. Pretty nice, and they look sort of like they do now, but of course we put the ice in. My gosh, we made Jell-O. We were the happiest people in the world just to make Jell-O.
Well, I remember.
This is terrible. Our
first ice box was, I think, 3 shells, and then you had ice in the top, but it wasn't wooden or anything. We had a big aluminum pan at the bottom and one at the top, and it had cloth all the way around it. And we put water in the top, and it went down, and the air kept things cool in there. It didn't make them cold. It kept it cool.
There's a...
and drained out in the bottom, you see.
In here someplace, I haven't been in here for 2 or 3 years, but there's a plate glass case that we donated to the museum that was the meat case.
Well, I saw that.
They used to use,
before we used to use
in our grocery store, and in the center is a square place where they kept a block of ice, and then the meat was
around.
Put around, and there was a pan underneath that cut the drippings of the ice.
Well, we had a well house for a windmill, and it had this big cement trough where the water ran through, and we put our cream and all of our butter and all of our stuff out.
That was at your home. Mm-hmm. This was in our grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, on the farms, they didn't have no phones either.
No.
Yeah. I can't imagine not having...
No phone lines, no nothing.
I can't remember
not having
a phone.
Oh, we never had a phone for years and years because we never was... They never run no phone lines anywhere out that way.
We got the country news was eavesdropping over the telephone when we hear somebody's ring.
Did you ever get caught?
No, they couldn't tell because, like... For my parents, it was 2 long rings, and a neighbor's parents was a long ring, 2 shorts, and a long. And we just knew everybody's ring because everybody's telephone would ring, see, when you'd call someone. So people would go listen to see what they could find out.
I like a gossip line, wouldn't I?
You'd have to pick it up really quiet so they wouldn't hear you listening in.
Once in a while, it was.
They probably all knew that you were listening. Though.
Probably everybody knew
you could tell whenever anyone took a receiver down to listen. But
this one little lady that lived on our line, well, we didn't have one, and Lowell and Alan Poorball and Lowell, they built this line themselves that we could. And this little switchboard they had in Knowles was just a little old thing, you know. And but they built that up, and they was getting it all set up so we'd have ours was long and 2 shorts, and Alan's was 4 shorts, and so on. And they got it all fixed, and they're just kind of checking out to see if it was going to work because they did it by themselves. And this Mrs. Holtkamp, a little lady, lived out there by herself, you know, and she was eavesdropping when the boys was doing this. And Alan said, well, my ring will be 4 shorts. And she started laughing. She said, hee, 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 a flock of shorts. And we still laugh about that, you know. But that was really interesting to even talk to your neighbor.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, oh, my, you could just write books, couldn't you, Alan?
The first radio that I ever heard, I was in high school then, and one of our neighbors bought one, and it had... 2 sets of earphones, and couldn't everybody listen? Just 2 at a time could listen to the radio. but they had two, a boy and a girl in high school too, and they used to invite high school kids down to listen to the radio, but just two of us could listen at the time.
What was your favorite thing to listen to, or your favorite
shows? Oh, I don't remember. That's been too long ago.
Well, were movies an option for any of you?
There was something down...
I don't know when Beaver got
south,
first
way
movie.
South somewhere.
House.
We used to get on them earphones, and I don't remember where it was at.
Do you know
my
when
husband's
Beaver
dad
first had
a
movie house theater?
Yeah, I find.
Know when Beaver first had a movie theater?
No.
I don't remember either.
From the time I came to Beaver, they
had
always had one. I
didn't. Used to go to the show, I remember, on Saturday afternoon for a nickel or a dime. Mm-hmm.
Leonard and I used to always go to the movie on Friday night because we could go for a dime.
Well, I tell you, a dime was hard to get back then.
Yes, it was. Every dime counted.
Well, as you think back into those times, and the life was a little different, or a different world, as you were saying, is there one thing that sticks in your mind as being representative of that time, or an image that you know of those times that keeps coming back to you, or a story or an event that stands out in your mind in those times?
I think the thing that I think about was our neighbors. Everybody was so neighborly and helped, and you don't see that like it was back then. You know, you'd get together and you bring your kids and I'll bring mine, or we'll go to the Grove and we'll have a picnic, mm-hmm. or we'll have a dinner. It just suddenly...
Or they'd go help with the farming.
Yeah, they'd help. And to me, that's... Of course, it's just different now. Mm-hmm. Like our kids, they all move away to get a job. You know, and they're just scattered out. And the family part, it seems like to me, is... It's not really anybody's fault. It's that way.
So for you, thinking back to that, the thing that's highlighted, or the thing that you think of, is the family, the friendship and the family unit. And that's what stands out in your mind during those times.
I don't know, togetherness. I don't know, our family was...
Close-knit, weren't you?
Yeah, there was just that togetherness that, like I said a while ago, they have to leave to go to get a job. And they just—it's just not like it used to be. They just, so many of them worked at home. They'd work at anything, or if a man had to go get a job, they would always come back to home. Mm-hmm. They didn't move away.
Right.
I don't know. That's probably, maybe you think that too. You know, I don't know, but now that it's the whole family goes. And,
a thing that I think has changed a lot is the morality standards.
Oh, my, yes.
That's terrible.
Oh, my, yes. That's.
But people don't visit like they used to. People used to go and visit people, stay all day, have picnics. But you don't do that anymore like you used to.
No.
Because they all watch TV.
And they didn't mention the word sex and all.
No, it's just all.
Or women being pregnant and all that stuff. We never heard of
that. You just visit and have a good time.
It was.
No, it's just.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Those were hard times back then, but would you want to go back?
And we used to have clubs at my land. We had a lot of people in clubs. We was in the same club. And we enjoyed it, had a lot of fun.
What clubs were you in? You two?
Sewing
club.
We had a sewing club, and we quilted. And this time we could put a quilt out on a day.
Yeah, we'd done a lot of work.
Wow.
And we enjoyed it, though, because we enjoyed each other.
Well, what would you say is something that has carried with you from that time, you've either learned or changed your life for the better or worse because of going through that experience?
Well, I don't know as it changed my life very much, but when we moved to town, we just only lived a quarter of a mile from my grandparents, and I was kind of partial to them, I guess, or they were partial to me. I don't know how to put it.
But anyway, Granddad would come to Beaver on Saturday and buy groceries in the wagon. And if I could, I'd get him to come out on Friday so I could go home with him that evening, stay for the weekend. But this one time that I can remember and never will forget, it was cold and the wind was blowing and it looked like it was going to start snowing. And I said, is Granddad going to come by and let me ride home with him today? And Mom said, I don't know. It looks like it's going to storm. And here in a little bit he came. And Mom didn't say I couldn't go. Didn't say I could either, I guess. But Granddad said, are you letting her go home with me? Well, I guess so. You're older than she is. You can take care of her. But anyway, before we got home, it was about 10 or 12 miles in the country. It started snowing, and oh, it was cold, and he had quilts that he had in the wagon to put over him. And so he bundled me up good, and he got out and walked so he could stay warm. But by the time we got to their house, it was snowing pretty good, and Grandma met us at the door. George Coberly, what did you bring that girl out in this storm for? She grabbed me and took me in, and she had the oven, the cook stove in the kitchen on, and opened the door and set me there and brought my feet up and said, you stay there till I tell you you can get down. And, oh, she just really raked Granddad over the coals for bringing me out in that cold. It didn't hurt me a bit. I didn't take a cold or anything. But Grandma just thought he was terrible to bring me out in that. But it meant a lot to me anyway to think he thought that much of me and wanted to take me.
Yeah. Well, is there any last memories or events of that time you'd like to share with us? Anything that you've brought with you from that period? What about the first time? We had an interesting story from a person I was speaking with, it, but this person could remember the very first time they ever tasted soda pop.
Oh, I can tell that.
And what a treat it was.
We was, my parents and, excuse me, we were south of Beaver down here. I don't know whether we used to, there was a church on the road to go south there. Well, they was having a camp meeting in the trees on down a little ways from that. And we wasn't very big kids. And somebody had bought soda pop that day. And all of us, none of us had even ever had any. They had a little ice in this tub and treated us all. I'll never forget that. I talked about that the other day. I talked about that. The first soda pop I ever had.
Was it Pepsi or Coke?
No, I think it was a fruit cherry or something like that. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure.
Well, they didn't have Pepsis and Cokes.
It wasn't Dr. Pepper? No,
just all fruit.
Fruit drink.
It was orange and
cherry.
And I know they had a cream soda that my mother was real favorite.
Do you remember the first time you ever tasted pop?
That's the first time I ever did.
I don't remember the exact incident, but I know it was, we lived 16 miles from Liberal, Kansas, and about twice a year they'd always have a big circus up there, and they'd always take us to the circus, and then we could have soda pop. But I don't remember this, but we always look forward to that.
You have a soda pop story for us?
Well, I don't know just what it was, but anyway, it was over there at Knowles for soda pop. I had it. They used to have horse races and kind of a fair-like out north of town. I think it's a wheat field now. And they had grandstands and everything out there. And that's the first pop I ever remember having.
I can't remember mine.
It's so good.
I think it was a strawberry or something like that.
Yeah.
Something out of the little towns. I have a picture of Knowles, one of these long pictures of them, Main Street. And they said at that time it was the largest town in Beaver County.
You don't have any pictures of out there when they used to have them out north of town.
I remember when they had the horse races and they had a band.
Yeah, and they had a big grandstand. But it's out in there in that wheat field somewhere north of Charlie Smotherman's. but I don't know where it was at.
Out there towards Parker's, yeah. This thing is just all gone.
Yeah, it's in Wheatfield now.
Well, I didn't even know there was a Knowles or a gate
until
I was in high school and I played basketball, and we'd go to Knowles to play basketball sometimes.
Knowles used to
be
pretty.
That was a long way off.
Yes,
Knowles used to be a pretty good sized town. I mean, for a small town, it had drug stores
and cars. It's Main Street and all the buildings on both sides.
Yeah. Had two hardwares.
Bank.
Well, Beaver used to be larger than it is now, too.
They had doctors over there. Everything.
They
had a school.
A doctor. A millinery.
And they had a meat market.
Oh,
they had a lot of stuff. About everything you can think of. Two barber shops.
Well, I think we're about done. Then. I think you ladies have lived through a pretty spectacular time.
Yeah. You get like this, Bob. That's what I sit around and think about.
Well, I think
don't know whether anybody else does or not, but I think
it's a really important thing that you're sharing this with.
Well, if you can make a story out of all this, I'd like to
read it. Yeah, I'd like to read it every night.
I think it'd be a bestseller.